This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Blood Red Podcast with me, Ian Doyle. Joining me today here in Madrid, in sunny Madrid, is our full-time Liverpool correspondent, both home and away.
And that includes in Europe. It's Paul Ghost. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Ian.
How you doing?
Yeah, all good.
Did you have a nice kip last night?
Yeah, it makes a change. Yeah, it's been good, hasn't it? We've gone here earlier than most. We got here Monday morning. Nice weather, nice food. Just probably a shame about the results, but sure, we'll come on to that.
The game hasn't even happened yet. And also joining us, we've got a special guest, a former Blood Redder. Is that a phrase? Which if it is, I've just made it up now. Sorry, a dog just walked into the hotel reception here in Madrid. It's Neil Jones of Goal. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Ian.
How are you doing?
I'm good, yeah. Nice to be back on the continent. Might be the last Champions League away trip for a while.
Well, this is a cheer. It's always a cheery stuff.
Always have a bit of familiar territory and good memories of this city from a Liverpool perspective, isn't it? You know, we haven't been up to Wanda yet, but it always makes me think of the Wanda when you come here, doesn't it? That night in 2019. So hopefully we're smiling again tonight.
Well, it's come to something if I'm bringing the positivity to this podcast. But anyway, we'll start with you, Ghosty. Liverpool obviously here against Real Madrid. They're trailing by 5-2 after the first leg. Now there's been, 3 weeks since that first game. What kind of reflections have you got on it? Did you think it was a bit... Yeah, it seems to be like almost every week Liverpool get involved in a freakish scoreline, and that was one of many over the past couple of weeks, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a strange one, wasn't it? You know, I think for years we've kind of wanted to see what Real Madrid were about under the lights of Anfield, not a big Champions League light. And they got away with it, didn't they, in 2021 because of the pandemic season with no fans. Liverpool have only met them in the final in recent years. Obviously, that one in, what was it, 2014?
It was a bit of a non-event.
Yeah. And so we were waiting to see how Real Madrid would react. And 15 minutes in, you're thinking, okay, well, they're just going to go on bed and be like so many others before them. You know, power of Anfield and all the kind of cliches, stereotypes that you want to say, but Liverpool on it. European light looked like they were coming to the fore again. And then Real Madrid kind of remembered who they were and got back into the side, didn't they? And if there's one team who are going to be flustered by Inter Milan, you know, it's our 15 minutes of 180 minute tie, it's going to be them. And slowly but surely, they kind of felt their way back into the game. And I thought they were unbelievable second half, to be fair. Liverpool capitulated, but they showed what they were all about, why they ought to be champions and why they do have such a kind of monopoly on this competition. So it's going to be tough, isn't it? You know, if Bournemouth on Saturday hadn't happened and the Bill are coming into this fresh off the back of the 7-0 win over United, I think there'd be a lot more optimism than there is. But Liverpool away from home has generally been awful, haven't they, this season? Ajax, they were good at Ajax. I can't think of too many others.
He did win 7-1 at Rangers.
As he said, they were a good second half and the Rangers did a poor way.
They have a must stack that. You know, once they smell blood, they go for it. They certainly haven't lost that. We've seen that at Bournemouth, United, Rangers, Ajax. You know, when they get on a roll, they do get going, but it takes a lot more to get going than I'd ever seen to used to. And then one of the characteristics that they've developed this season, which is very unlike Liverpool, is the inability to respond to setbacks. We've seen that held well with the start of the season. So it's going to have to be, you know, one of the all-time performances tonight. But the fact that it is Liverpool, which you go in, like Klopp said yesterday, you know, there's still that 1% of hope and 1% is more than zero.
Neil, do you think it's about time that Real Madrid stopped having the jam? Because when you think about it, you go through those games that they played recently, 2018 final, obviously Salah gets, you know, taken out of the game quite early on and Karius gets concussed and you know, all that kind of stuff. 2021, as Ghosty said, no fans. Last year, there was a whole disruption before the game, which, don't care what anyone says, I do think that affected Liverpool players. Yeah, exactly. So, and then, to a certain degree, they were a little bit lucky in the game in the first leg, but as Ghosty said, in the second half, they were decent. But even then, Liverpool gave them at least two of the goals. And one of them is a deflection. And you always get the impression with Real Madrid that when they need the little bit of luck, they get it. And what we saw last season when they played in the Champions League, most of the knockout games, they got themselves in a really good position and then kind of threw it away and then got it back. It would take an almighty mess up from them to get in that position tonight. But it does give Liverpool a little bit of hope that they can just switch off. And I know that they've got certain Yule players coming through, Tchouaméni and Camavinga, players like that, and Vinicius. But they've still got quite a few of the older ones still there. And a lot of them are coming to the end of the time at Real Madrid this season.
I was thinking that when Cobbazzo was in, I was in America watching the first leg in New York in the bar. And,
yeah, clanging.
I saw it then. It wasn't a football environment, you know, so you sort of like, you weren't as caught up in the game as much. You're watching the game a bit more than you might maybe normally would, even in the press box. You know, probably shouldn't say that, but you can get caught up in sort of the occasion of the game, I suppose, with the intricacies of it. And I did think, you know, sort of first 20 minutes, I thought, you know, just feel it. Every great team or great players, when it comes to an end, it comes to a shudder and end. And I was thinking, you know, although you see, obviously, after 20 minutes, is this the night that, like, Luka Modric, you sort of, you know, reign comes to an end? People say, you know, well, he's been amazing, but that was 1 year too much, or that kind of thing. The way they responded was just incredible, wasn't it? And, you know, with a helping hand or a helping foot for Liverpool. But you do think, you know, can't go on forever, you know. All the great seasons, remember Barca, you know, remember Guardiola's team, you thought they'd never ever lose a game in the Champions League, and then they go, I find you never think could.
Yeah, 7-0, wasn't it?
In a game, and then you think of Messi, and was it 8-2? Bayern Munich could put them to the sword. I mean, you look at sort of.
Right.
You could look at Liverpool as was that the night for Liverpool where Liverpool sort of need more up? But I still think there's a possibility that it can, you know. I think if you can sort of get the upper hand on Real Madrid, you can make them look old, you can make them look their age, even only for spells. And every team that played against them last season, including Liverpool, the first half of the final, did that. You know, City, I mean, played pretty much 180 minutes, City sitting in miles above Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Again, Chelsea were 3-0 up in the stadium. You know, Paris Saint-Germain were using 14 minutes away.
Yeah,
16, you know, you think of, there was, what was the team last season? The Tiraspol, yeah, Tiraspol won in the Bernabeu, in the Ajax a few years back, made them look ancient. So you can do it, but my question is, I don't think Liverpool can do it. I don't think this Liverpool team can do it for long enough. I don't think they can sustain it. So as we saw in the first, like, I think they can rattle them and they can get on top of them, but I don't think they can stay on top of them at this moment. So I don't think Real Madrid will win the Champions League this season, but I think we'll go through up from the start.
It's funny you mention that about the kind of the game where you think a legendary team is now past its peak. And I thought that in the second leg against PSG for Elbows last season. And I remember, I think they won first leg 1-0 when she did it, and they got 1-0 up in the air. And the
back is good.
Yeah, and I remember that performing out of the fleet saying, why is he so desperate to get to Real Madrid? Is it just because it's Real Madrid? Because this team...
They scored straight from the kickoff, didn't they? And the cameras almost missed it. It was like they gave the ball straight away and then they were in again.
It's ridiculous. That's what they can do. But I always think with this, I mean, Real Madrid have lost 4-0 at home this season to Barcelona.
And Barcelona got beat by
United.
And United got beat by Liverpool, and Luke got beat by Real Madrid, he got beat by Barcelona.
It's the circle of football, isn't it? It's the old thing. I've always said this. Man United and New York Juventus and New York were the best two teams in 1994, if you followed that round.
Yeah.
It always came out to those two. Anyway, I've gone off the track, but...
What was the question again, sorry?
Because I'm asking them.
We thought Real Madrid were dead very sort of last...
They never really are, though. And you're right about saying that this could be the end of Liverpool's cycle, but we knew that anyway. It took the end of Liverpool's side came after that Champions League final, and Klopp had already hinted at it. But the problem is that it doesn't just happen like that.
It happens. I know, Neil, you said sometimes there could be one night where it looks obvious, but it doesn't just happen like that. It kind of takes a lot.
But I think that's what Wales are.
Yeah.
You know, we've known this season that it's gone. She's gone with Liverpool. Yeah, Washington's changing with Liverpool. Everyone would be more kind. I think that opened everyone's eyes. It's like, wow, five Anfield. No one does that. Like, and it was like, well. I mean, it shocked most people, but when you actually take it back and you say, well, could Liverpool concede five in a game in the season? Yeah, they could, the way they've been playing, you know, like, you probably could have done in other games this season that you've watched. you know, Fulham and Arsenal, and then, you know, team played back. So they, yeah, they don't have what they, I mean, I was saying this to James Pearce yesterday, we were travelling in together, and I said sort of, if it was last season Liverpool going into that, I wouldn't be confident, but I sort of think, good chance Liverpool can really just go 2-0 up in this game and sort of put Real Madrid's weight on them. But I was saying, last season Liverpool would never be 5-2 down, you know, that game would have finished 2-2. Last season, you know, if that game had happened, that first half, Liverpool would have come out of the second half and just said, right, no, we'll, if the, we're put a stop to this sort of chaos here, and we're just going to, we're going to back ourselves.
Who was playing in that first? Like, Canati was there, was he? Al Thiago was there.
Yeah, and
Diaz, obviously.
Diaz was there. So it's like the three players who started the Champions League final
against Real Madrid, Sadio.
Yeah, I know what they've they've replaced him, but
yeah.
And then you look at Real Madrid have replaced third players for better players. Liverpool haven't replaced those because they weren't players to be replaced, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I'm relatively unchanged that much. I've been look at it. I mean,
Tchouaméni is one, and they did have a couple of injuries. They had a couple of injuries. You say their left back and Cruz did play, but then did because he wasn't supposed to be there, and then he blew over. Yeah,
Benzema's been past fit. I was not to say yesterday that he's going to be playing himself.
So. Yeah. So do you think? I think the only changes will be what it'll be Rudiger for Alaba. I think, and at centre back. From the final, this is, and then I think Tchouaméni will play instead of Kroos
and Deby or one of
those. It was interesting yesterday with Klopp, wasn't it? He fetched the relevant players, and then he's, you know, it was like Kroos, Kondrić, Benzema, Tchouaméni. Wow, we're a wire.
Yeah. I think a lot of people's ears picked up with that, didn't they? And obviously,
I mean, the thing about Real is,
as well, and I think this does paint them differently. Is that I think Liverpool don't have it, and it's not a criticism really on Liverpool. It's just the way that they play is a little bit more manic and a little bit more sort of, you know, running than that. But no matter what the game situation, Real Madrid, you can give any of their players the ball anywhere on the pitch, and they can play a triangle out of it. And when Liverpool were getting the right with the press, that stood out a mile, where, you know, it goes into Eden Militao or whoever, and it's not like into the stands and sort of the crowd goes, oh, like, but we've got them, you know. It's all right, we'll just play our way out. And it I think it does depress teams, you know, when you sort of think, like, we've just really put all our energy into that and thought we had them, and they just banged it out. And the Vinicius has had a run, and what do you want, a corner, or they've had a shot or whatever. I think Liverpool have that real base where it's like, you can get after them. But when the game sort of settles into a bit of a rhythm, it's like, I don't think we can match them, you know. Not for the majority of it. So I think Liverpool, it'll be much harder for Liverpool to claim the good parts of that, you know, the chaos.
If you like, it'll be much harder for Drake that tonight. There'll be more, I think, of the calmness of the game, which was
super unlucky. But you know, listen, I've written a piece today. I'm sure we've all written something similar this week. There's probably only two teams in Europe that would have a chance to overturn this tonight, and they're both playing each other. You know,
yeah,
they're the only two teams I think. You can maybe put City. United in. I think you can put United into the one where you say, you know, they would write them off. Or I think Liverpool are probably the only team that Real Madrid would think, are they? I wouldn't count each other.
I think you know, if Liverpool play anyone with a 3-goal deficit that wasn't a dirty team, they have a little, you know, early goal
chance.
Then different when it's feeling to be champions. I think Liverpool probably going to have to play a bit of a counter to that game tonight. I mean, they're going to be utilising the passing and sets, the diagonals in for Nunes and behind. Similar to Nunes then, so just for the Salah.
I've said Trent's not playing. I'm thinking Joe Gomez in my team.
Yeah, I think you need that call. I think, you know, you just need that cross that might just,
yeah,
when you want 3K corner, you know, a shot outside the ball. I was thinking about this. I think, you know, the obvious way is you need 3 goals, you've just got to go. I mean, yeah, another goal is that's their way. But I do wonder whether if they had the full team on, could you know, a little bit like Arsenal when they won the league at Anfield in 89. Very famously, George Graham sort of sent them out with the idea of 0-0 half time, please. That was his message, wasn't it? They have to win by 2 clear goals. That was 3 tonight. But everyone sort of thought, well, Arsenal got actually commit, another goal, just pick him off and score. But George Graham said, look, just keep it tight. Don't concede a goal in the first half, and we will get one.
And then the game changes, you know, like even with 15 minutes to go, Liverpool get one.
Yeah,
go one, then, you've still got that.
I know, but then I know what you're building up saying. But do you think this Liverpool team is capable
of doing it? We'll talk about the injuries as well, but the midfield tonight is either a two-man midfield with Fabinho plus one, and you wouldn't say is a two-man midfield player, or it's a three-man midfield with Milner and Elliott, who, you know, good players, obviously, but, you know, are they gonna get a grip with that midfield?
Well, that's part of the reason why I'd start with Gomez, is just to keep everything really, really solid at the back and see what happens.
Yeah, Liverpool can't sink at it to the first 20 minutes. I think 50's a ticket.
I think Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid will. I think Real Madrid will throw us out in the first 20 minutes.
Well, of course, you said last night. I think I sort of agree. The best way you can see Liverpool going through is like late, stoppage time, third goal. You know, not the only chance, but the best chance Liverpool have got, isn't it? It's taken into extra time. But like Gorge was saying, I can't. If Liverpool went 3-0 up after 15 minutes, I still wouldn't think they'd win the game. You know, you'd still sort of think that.
You got some earlier. Well, it was a bit like, and I mentioned this in a previous conversation, when Liverpool were 3-1 down against Chelsea in 2009. They went to Chelsea, went 2-0 up at half time. You're thinking, great, they're in a great position. 15 minutes later, they were losing 3-2. So,
yeah, but I suppose the difference to Paris and the away goals, wasn't it? Liverpool needed to score another one.
Yeah.
They only need to get level in the tie. I know that is a big, it is a big difference. You know, that was 5-2. You saw it saying Liverpool have got to score 4, and yeah, just to go to extra time. Just to win the game.
Yeah.
And 3 is not enough. So it does change it, but I don't know. I just think, I mean, we all said the same, didn't we? We all said before the Barcelona game, 2019, Barcelona going to score.
Yeah.
No way.
Barcelona famously.
We all thought of Barcelona going to score. But tonight, Real Madrid are going to score. I think it's clear. Real Madrid are going to score. So can Liverpool?
What you were saying before, just a moment ago, about Liverpool and after winning at the end, that's kind of plays into the whole psychological aspect of the game then, doesn't it? Because that's the only way the Liverpool are going to get to Real Madrid is if they score at the right time and make them a little bit nervous, because then the crowd will become a little bit nervous. So we've seen in the past with, you know, the Real Madrid crowd, so when they played in those games against PSG, Chelsea, against City, they can't not so much turn on the team, but it almost goes over to the players then, go, well, we better do something here.
Yeah.
So they kind of respond to the negativity, whereas other clubs, like, say, for example, Liverpool, their crowd, when it's positive,
Don't forget, they've got Barcelona suddenly. In the league, which is a must win, isn't it? No, they probably won't win the league, even if they win it.
Well, firstly, it's 9 points behind them.
So they've got to win this game on Sunday. Lost recently to them, didn't they,
Super Cup, wasn't it? Yeah, they played it in
June. No, I don't think they've played even more recently than that.
Oh, no, they played this one, yeah.
That's right, I'll be right. So, they've got their eye on it. And do you maybe get to the point where with Benzema's had a problem to see? As you only got 70 minutes in it, and all of a sudden you sort of Liverpool scored at the right time, as legs maybe start to go, or as they start to make a couple of changes and bring on, you know, players who maybe aren't as into them as the others. I mean, these are the positives and the possibilities. I think people rely on an awful lot of, you know, rely on Liverpool putting together their best performance of the season, ideally, you know, in every sense. They've got to play, they've got to defend properly, they've got to retain a threat. I'm not saying necessarily you need to control midfields as such. I don't really think they're capable of doing so. They've got to make sure that the control of the field doesn't dominate the game in terms of rounds.
The best off just bypass a little almost, but easy. One ball don't turn up. Ten diagonals. She's standing behind them.
If the Anna's in here,
those two players who I've said aren't
playing. Is he going to start either of those?
No. Or I'd just throw everybody on with that if an hour to go.
Jota and Firmino.
How about Jota and Firmino?
My
argument is that you don't bring Firmino on.
No.
You're going to start him. And I'd say Jota, it's time for him to give him a start.
Jota made a difference off the bench, didn't he? Yeah. He was hard to make a difference, giving away the first half. But I believe he was Liverpool's best player in the second half.
Yeah.
And dangerous. He's getting close for a goal now, isn't he?
He's one of the goals I've done for me now, Adam, even though, you know. So there it is. Yeah, so you come around to my way of thinking. I was going to say that you two were at the press conference last night at the Bernabeu. I was in Lisbon, we'll come to that in a minute. But what did you make of But you were actually there for the Real Madrid press conference. Yeah, another one you go. So first of all, what was kind of like the impression you got from Ancelotti and Rudiger? Was that spoke?
Yeah, I mean, Ancelotti wasn't asked too many questions about Liverpool. To be fair, he was asked a bit of Vinicius. He was asked a bit about Hazard, Benzema. The only thing he said in relation to the game at Liverpool specifically was just it's a bit more of a complex game for it, for Real Madrid than Liverpool. Liverpool know they've got to go in, they'll score three, they've got to go hell for leather at some stage and try and blast their way back into the tie. Where is Real Madrid? How do they approach it? Do they play the normal game? Did he stand off? Did he try and kill an early doors? So that was kind of his thinking. And Rudiger was basically just saying, can't play like we did in the first 15 minutes downfield. You know, if they're asleep, then this team good enough to claw that back that deficit quite quickly, and suddenly the game was completely different. So, you know, very cautious from both of them, but they know what they need to do, don't they? I think it'll be fascinating to see what kind of Real Madrid, what their approach is, you know, first 20, 25 minutes. Whether they think they can go and kill it completely, or whether they feel that feel Liverpool out and see what Liverpool show up. So it's going to be an interesting one, isn't it? We know at some stage Liverpool are just going to have to absolutely go for it, but I don't know if he can do that early, too early.
Jurgen had a bit of a sharp haircut, by the way. I saw the pictures. I was like,
well, look, what can I say? Why not?
He's like, I think he's tidy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he has had a sharp haircut.
No, he's in good spirits in his press conference, you know.
I think there's a few lines, wasn't there, stood out, but he said, even if it's a 1% chance, we'll give it a go. And he said, I'm happy to be here. The name, if it was in, if you asked him for a Christmas present, get it, and you wouldn't ask for three goals down, go to the bed about. What can he say? I mean, you know, it's not, you've got to play the game. I mean, you can't turn up and just sort of say,
He said that he had got too much respect for the competition and for the involvement. So he just,
This is the sixth time he's played against, drawn against Real Madrid, the Champions League, isn't it? Twice been dubbed in semi-finals. Yes. I think you're both semi-finals.
Because they both need to go forward and they get
again. And they won one of them, didn't they?
One and lost one.
Yeah.
We were very lucky to lose the second one.
They fall down and fall back.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So in the tent, and he, Gary, I mean, he's, Real Madrid get his sort of, a little bit full of, aren't they in the Champions League?
We don't do Welsh in this podcast. Come on.
We can't. It's the Real Madrid.
Yeah.
The best team in the world, and there are both.
Are we really struggling?
It's like saying, what are they called? The Washington Commanders? Are they called that?
I don't know.
It's the Washington something. It's the team who always will Jordan.
I think. Again, if it was last season's team or last season's sort of form, I wouldn't say he'd be confident, but it'd make it a lot easier because you knew what you were getting from them, didn't you? Even if they were sort of had rough periods in games, you knew they could ride it out. You knew they could give up 1-0 down, it'd still win. Like this team, you just don't quite know. We've said it already. They scored 9, 7, and 7. The last three teams in Europe to beat Napoli this season. It was a dead rubber game, but I think Napoli did quite like something all assists. I think Napoli would have loved to go to Anfield and win.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, they've gone away to the two big rivals in the Champions League qualification, and both of them. One of them is decided to beat Manchester City. They've delivered those performances, but it's those ones. It's Nottingham Forest, Leeds, Brentford.
Brighton
tied to the Wolves. You know, those performances, they just chip away at the sort of the surety of the team, don't they? The idea that, you know, I lost count of the amount of time over the last 3 or 4 years. I've been in a press box away, and there's been someone unfamiliar next to me, and they've sort of said, oh, Liverpool are wobbling. And I've sort of given the arrogant sort of, they'll be all right. That sort of, don't worry, Liverpool, then, you know, that's going to happen. I can't do that anymore, you know, even to the point of Saturday. I really thought that Liverpool had slipped up on Saturday. I predicted that Liverpool would win. You know, and he didn't. And that sort of, I think that just takes so much away from this kind of escape act. You know, if that 5-2 was just a one outlier and season, where you were, wow, that was just a bit of a mad game. That's got, you know, I think it's not. It's actually more that it's more on trend at Liverpool, isn't it? That, you know, if you get stuck into them, they'll give you stuff, and that is a worry, isn't it? You know, it's best thing going away to the Bernabeu. But, you know, I'm sure by the time kickoff comes, we've all got ourselves into the zone of like, we'll hear the 1800 fans in the upper tier somewhere, we'll hear them singing and Never Walk Alone.
And Anfield, though, and we'll be thinking, go on, have a go with them, let's see what we can get. So, we'll see. I think the first 20 minutes, I think we'll know, I think, better than that.
Paul, would you like to ask me why I was in Lisbon?
Yes, so we flew into Madrid together on Monday morning, didn't we? And then you flew out to Lisbon Tuesday morning.
Yes, I did. I couldn't take it anymore.
No, Liverpool, we took the rare opportunity of actually going to see Liverpool play in the UEFA, well, I say we, it was me, UEFA Youth League quarterfinal, because they played against Sporting Lisbon. And they got beat 1-0 for anybody who's not aware of the scoreline. And to be honest, they were a bit unlucky. They had quite a few players missing through injury and suspension after what happened against Porto in the last round. So they've bitten short players up front. And then after 8 minutes, Ben Doak, who's obviously the star player, he goes off because he got a proper whack on the head. And it's one of these ones that straight away, he tried to get up, stumbled and just fell over again. It was on the floor. And then when he was coming off, he's been helped off, he looked like he was going to be sick, basically, because he looked in such a bad way. But to be fair, Liverpool regrouped, carried on. Sporting had a couple of chances towards the end of the first half. Or second half, Liverpool had one or two good efforts. And then Sport scored the winner midway through the half, which was iffy to say the least. Long ball over the top. Lee Jonas goes in to try and clear it. He gets blocked off. It's like some kind of NFL wave. Assistant referee, fourth official, none of them spot it. Or say it's not a foul. Then the Sporting player goes on, puts it in. And then, was it fourth minute of injury time? Liverpool get a call and Harvey Davies comes up and you think, Alisson over. Hey, Alisson over again. Unfortunately, they did aim it for him. Yeah. He was very, very close to getting it. Yeah, very close to getting it. To be fair, he was wearing a pink shirt, so it's quite easy to spot him.
Was that us? Yeah. Can you do that? If he's that good in the head, send over every call.
I
think the problem there is that if they don't get it, that none of the players can handle it in the box, so it would be a penalty to try to stop it. But yeah, I think we're a bit unlucky. I know that the players were very distraught afterwards, but funny thing is that it's great experience for them, but they're not going to get it if Liverpool don't get into the Champions League next season.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because we've seen loads of UEFA Youth League this season, and to be honest, it's been one of the highlights of the season, watching the likes of Ben Doak and so coach.
It's a good goal of the season, that one around
Rangers. Back to goal. It was the only one in their half, wasn't it?
I'll
just be falling a little stiff on the outside of the foot.
With the assist, he's already took the corner.
I've enjoyed when we were there in Naples, really. That was a sort of part of our game that they won.
It wasn't so much German left of the game trying to get back to the area, and that's another story entirely. They battered Ajax at home.
I think beat Rangers. Good pass of Rangers. It was really ground out the results away, didn't he, when Jonas got sent off early in the second half.
Mm.
We made there for the Porto game because that was like an hour before the Wolves game, wasn't it, with the senior team. So that got a bit tasty at the end with the penalties and now they've been left out. So yeah, it's a shame because, as I say, it's been enjoyable watching them, but certainly seen enough of a few there to think that...
That's kind of about... Well, that's basically how Ben Doak came to Bromwich, wasn't it? Because you could see these playing against better players than the under-21s, because obviously it's from teams in Europe. He's been totally classed.
And they were the Bullocks. By Chesich, who would have been one of the stars of this team.
Obviously,
he lost Stoke, I think, for a little bit of this season with the first team. Oki Kananiere's been injured. We got injured the Rangers that game.
Yeah, he hasn't really played.
I haven't really seen much of him.
Towards as well, man.
Lewis Kumas was suspended.
Trent was gone on loan, yeah.
Isaac Bebey is injured.
Joe Zelfont was on, yeah.
Yeah, Kwanzaa Jones, the back four, both of Wallace.
Yeah, so,
Would Balagazi would have played as well? Is he too... Yeah, he would have been. Yeah, he's not 20, is he? So...
Harvey Berger, his nose broken, I think, in training last week. I think we're not in a
an accident.
They've had to patch up the team a little bit. I know it was still a strong enough team, wasn't it? Yes, they had Bobby Clark playing, and obviously Bendo started the game, but it wasn't Liverpool's best under 19s team, that's a bit of a regret, I suppose, isn't it? You'd like to see the best of Liverpool sort of youth going at it with them. You'd back them, wouldn't you, to have a good goal. But good experience. I thought about you, but I just feel a little bit like the home advantage plays a bigger part in the youth league. I feel like,
There's many
players that struggle sometimes away from home just to adapt to the...
I am sure. There's not many away fans supporting when there's play exactly.
I don't know, it maybe just feels a little bit more alien to players when they go away and,
well, bye-bye.
Stadiums, yes, not, you know, stadiums in the first team are pretty much, you know, you're used to bigger arenas aren't you, in town. I mean, Napoli's like a municipal sports park, isn't it? We're right at the game.
To be fair, there was a tree game one of the goals.
Yeah, you know, you're playing on it, sort of a bit of a, you know, pudding that day, wasn't it? That wasn't a great pitch, I don't think. But we then deserved.
Oh, the pitch was
Zayac 4G, I think, was that?
The pitch of sport, it was terrible. Well, not terrible, it was just rock.
I'm sorry, it was all patchy, wasn't it? Like the so I think there's a lot more variables, you know, when you go away from home. It makes you feel a bit more familiar.
Especially after Christmas as well, with the concept of January playing.
Also, the youngsters, so they wouldn't have played that many games abroad. Okay, they would have watched that many games abroad anyway.
You're saying there, you know, they have sort of NFL move, you know, maybe an English refereeing.
What's that? To be fair, I think anybody with eyes would spot it. Even I spotted it.
You know, or maybe you get to the point of some referees don't want you to talk to them. Some do, and you sort of that gets you more wound up in the game because you sort of feel like you're not getting anything off the, you know, the referee. We've seen, you know, what game was it? Was it Rangers got a bit tasty? Napoli got tasty.
I
remember Bendo giving the
yes and that. There was, I would like to point, it was not on this during the game yesterday. Sporting played in a very good spirit, and I know there were some people thinking, "Oh, it's another Portuguese team." But it wasn't really like that at all.
Yeah, but it's a shame, isn't it? Because they haven't got through to a finals. They have been next gen.
It's three quarter finals now. In fact, this time last year they played Juventus.
City beat them.
Pens. City beat them on pens after they beat United. Juventus. They lost the keeper early on, and they. Because he did a goal halfway through the second half, so it was more or less the same as well. But anyway, we'll finish, not with a team selector, because we've done that on other podcasts, but what we will do is, I'll ask you, pair of yours, how do you think Liverpool should approach the game?
I've told myself into the idea of keeping it tight and going for a clean sheet for as long as you can do, and then maybe half an hour sort of thinking, sure, let's just push another lever here and see if we can just up it a little bit. I think Liverpool, I'm going to say, that's a terrible way of putting it. I'm going to say, if you give Liverpool 1-0 with them 5 minutes to go, you take out. Probably when you want 2-0, don't you? But I think if you give Liverpool 0, they'll last an hour. I think I'd take that hour and then shake hands on it and say, yeah, we'll have that and we'll make it a half an hour game and see if we can sort of, you know, create some nerves in the last half hour. I just don't know if they're capable of doing it, keeping the thing cheap for an hour.
Yeah, I'm a bit torn really because I'm thinking team-wise, 4-2-3-1, get as many match wins as the team, but then my game plan is to try and keep it tight, so there's fun to keep it. I don't know, just sturdy with each other there.
Like, no, oh, you're looking excessive.
They probably have ripped
them. What's the deal? The problem is, that they need to score three. If it was two, then you could definitely say, right, we're just keeping you out for as long as possible and then get one and see where you go. But the fact that they need three, you can't just leave it too long, so that it is going to be, you know, if Abtonta says it's a complex game for Real Madrid, it isn't for Liverpool, he's a little bit clever there because it actually is complex for Liverpool because they don't know how to
approach it. So I think Nunes will call his problems, don't he?
Liverpool.
Yeah, not definitely. Just that running in behind, because he doesn't always get that space, does he? Certainly in our field, but when it's there, we see that Tottenham, didn't we? You know, picking a ball, Gassel. When he's got that space in behind there, just off that left, you know, he's a real handful, and maybe that's something for the Pearls, for Hannah, I don't know, but yeah, I do agree with Neil in terms of keep it tight for now and then you throw the lad at it, but the big problem is the midfield, isn't it? And it has been all season. We're not opening that can of worms again.
I could open another can of worms if you want. But
would you go to space on this team?
If you think about Trent midfield with Gomez at right back, given the absences, would you cut that?
Well, I've got Gomez playing at right back. I'd have Gomez at right back.
I suppose Trent would start Trent.
Well, now that you've said it,
yeah,
it would be a massive. Let's put it this way. If there is a game this season in which you could possibly try it, it's one where you're losing 3-0 already and going away to the European champions.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it this season. A few games, we just change it up a little bit. But I think, you know, I think Kanate makes a difference to Liverpool's defending on the counter-attack. I think if he'd played in the first leg, I don't think it would have enough fries. You know, we might not have won the game or we might have still lost, but I don't think the Bram would have scored five. Probably Vinicius would have had as much freedom as he got. But if you got him and Gomez, it's a lot of pace that sort of locks down that channel better, doesn't it, than
Gomez and Trent did in the first leg. But then you could still squeeze in the match winner, you know, the match winning quality of someone like Trent. So I think there's your semi case for it, especially given that you're not going in yet. You don't want Harvey Elliott as a two man midfield.
I don't know if you want Jason over the two man midfield.
I think you want Naby Keita in the team, full stop, given his form and the absence of him recently. So, and Curtis Jones going to start again, is he? So, Ox?
I mean, when's the last time Ox played in midfield and sort of was effective, you know, in a game? That would feel like a hospital ball for him.
This is the kind of bullseye where the pros' weaknesses, isn't it? We're talking through it all now, and do you think you see?
Well, that's off. But don't forget, if they could easily have played in a bit of the three players who are missing of Henderson, Busquets, and Thiago, and everyone would go, that's all right.
Yeah. Sometimes you convince yourself, don't you? Like, no slice on Busquets, but I think in years to come, you look at that start 11 in the 5-2, they'd be like, I'm Busquets by me. Like, it just seems weird.
Yeah. I mean, that, I think you said that in the press conference yesterday. You know, imagine you'd have said, well, like, Liverpool have been dealt a blow. This is the start of the season. Liverpool have been dealt a blow for their Champions League knockout stage game at Real Madrid. Stefan by Jeff, is he unavailable? And sort of stuff.
Could be fun, wouldn't have it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, like, but it is, isn't it? It is a blow because he is one of the players that gets the ball back a lot, doesn't he? And sort of, you know,
runs around.
I think it is a blow to lose Henderson. You know, I know there'll be some people sort of shrug it a little bit, but I think it is. You want him in the team in a game like this. Is, you know, the Liverpool's most focused performances and the sort of best disciplined performances, he's generally in amongst them, isn't he? You know, he's generally plays a big role in it. Never more so than that Barcelona game. You know, the selflessness, the way he played that night. Whether he's still got that kind of performance in him, okay, you can debate it, but I'd rather find out than sort of be without him. But unfortunately, yeah, bad time.
I'm now going to finish with a two-part question, of which there's only yes or no, and I only want yes or no. First question is this your last trip to a Champions League game this season, and will you be going to one next season as a Liverpool reporter? And all I want is yes or no for both questions. Is it the last one this season?
Yes.
Will you be going to one next season?
It's yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes? Oh, right. Okay.
Go to the same question.
Yes and a yes.
I'm going to go yes and no. Sorry, but it, yeah.
I'll be Mr. Realist. The ball of game is just...
They're out the blue.
Yeah, after the United game, I was thinking, what's on money, but money.
What you would say about that, though, is you'll know an awful lot more after the first week after when they came back. Yeah.
That's probably what's kept up, I think, on Liverpool is like, if they'd won that ball of game, gives them a cushion with them next three games, doesn't it? Like, you can draw two, lose one, or win one and lose two, or whatever. Now you're looking, thinking, probably going to have to win more of the away games against Chelsea and
they can't afford to use.
And they're going to get beat Arsenal, probably, aren't they, as well. So that makes it hard.
Well,
I don't think Tottenham are any great shakes. I don't think Newcastle are any great shakes. Chelsea's still a fair bit away. I still think they are. I think they're in the danger, Chelsea.
Brian Brazen?
No, I think...
The bees of Brentford?
No, they go on with the goodness, and then
you got no craving for Fulham after.
They haven't gone all day now. Well, I'll stick with it. I'll stick with Liverpool sort of pouring it together when they need to in March and April or April and May.
Right, that will do us, and we will wish you farewell and safe travels wherever you're going, especially if you're coming over to Madrid. Hello.
You'll be thinking, why aren't you here already? Because the game's in a couple of hours. Right, we will hear from you soon on the podcast. Cheerio.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.